Hello and welcome to Foundation Stones from Refuge City Church. Having a solid foundation for our walk with Jesus Christ is vital for every Christian, especially in the times we live in. Through God's Word, candid conversations, and everyday application, the aim is to help you build your foundation so you can stand strong for God every day. Buckle in and prepare your heart. Pray this: God, ready my heart for your truth that I might be more like you. We hope today's episode empowers you to grow in your walk with Jesus. Let's dive in. Hey everyone, welcome back to Foundation Stones. My name is Jim Weaver. I'm the worship and the administrative pastor at Refuge City Church in Klamath Falls, Oregon, and I am your host for Foundation Stones. This is the podcast where we build our faith one foundation stone at a time. Just like Jesus said, if we will build our house on a solid rock, it will not crumble when the wind and waves hit it. And we want our faith to be the same way. We want to build our faith on the solid rock of God's holy word. And so every week we come back to you with a teaching on the foundation stones of God's amazing faith through Christ Jesus, the salvation of our souls. And today we are finishing a series that we have been in for several weeks now called Supplement Your Faith. It's a series that has been based on 2 Peter chapter 1. We've gone through several different supplements that we're adding to our faith, not because our faith was insufficient to bring salvation because we have put our heart in Christ's hands, but because God wants our faith to mature. We need to supplement it. We need it to grow it. We need it to mature. And so this series on 2 Peter chapter 1 has gone through all these different supplements. Today, we hit on the final one, the supplement of love. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 2 through 7, and then I'm going to give you just a little bit of review just to get us back on the same track together. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love." So let's review just real quick. Grace and peace are multiplied in our knowledge of God. When we get to know God, his grace and peace are multiplied to us because we know Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so we've got to grow in the knowledge of God. We've got to build these foundation stones, right? And then it says, God's divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness when we get that knowledge. That's amazing. Then it says, we have promises of being partakers of the divine nature. We so easily excuse our flesh nature, but God has actually called us up to participate, to be partakers of the divine nature. And when we have the knowledge of God, we now receive these promises and they allow us to partake of his nature. This also means we've been set free from the corruption that's in the world through lust, which is a big one. Jesus has set us free from sin, from the nature our flesh has to rebel against God. Then it says we need to add some things to our faith in order for our faith to grow and to mature. So we've added virtue. We talked about that being a deep moral conviction or moral excellence. So we add that virtue to our faith. Then when we have that virtue operating in our life, we add knowledge to it. So we understand right from wrong. Then we add self-control, which is one of the fruits of the Spirit, which means that we rely on the Holy Spirit through our knowledge of God to make sure that our life on this earth aligns with the intention and design of God. Once we have this self-control added into our faith, we start building longevity into our faith. We begin to do all of these things daily as a measure of our character, which means that we're adding perseverance. That's the next supplement. It's our daily determination to finish our race well. And once we've added perseverance to our faith, now we start to see the growth of godliness in our life. Godliness is our determination to take on the character traits of God. Through the Spirit empowerment, we have the availability to start operating out of the character of God in our life. What an amazing promise that is. And then as we begin to learn what it looks like to have the character traits of God, the natural outflow of this is to have brotherly kindness. Again, this is a supplement, something that we add to our faith. We have to be intentional about cultivating brotherly kindness in our life. And so now that all these attributes are filling our life, we've got to add the lifeblood of all of it to the mix. Without this last supplement, the supplement we're going to talk about today, this last ingredient, our faith, is empty. We've got to make sure that our faith is being filled up with love. So let's look again at the progression of the traits we're adding to our faith. These are the attributes we've already studied, and today we add the final one. He says in verse 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. So we've talked about a lot of things, but all of them truly are meaningless without our focus on the why. Why does God provide all that He does provide for us? And why does He ask us to continue the advancement of His kingdom on this earth? It can truly be summed up in one word, and that word is love. So throughout our time in Foundation Stones, we've talked about love a number of times. And there's a reason for this. Love is the overarching theme of the Bible. Love is the overarching theme of our Heavenly Father, the love of God towards us in Christ Jesus, the love we have in return to God, and the love we should have for one another. It's the marker of an authentic believer. I'd like to revisit one of our previous teachings on love by hitting on several points that you'll probably remember from episode number 16 of Foundation Stones called The Way of Love. I've updated it for our current context, but it may sound familiar, and I'm sure you've noticed by now that the deeper we get into the Word of God, the more we recognize that overlap of its content and teaching. It dovetails amazingly. So let me give you some thoughts to ponder today. First off, all religious activity devoid of love is meaningless. Let me say that again. All religious activity devoid of love is meaningless. Now, if that's true, then listen to this. All good deeds absent of love are pointless. All of our opinions, all of our knowledge, it's worth absolutely nothing without the love of God in operation in our lives. So notice that I said operation. We can't just know about love. We must be operating in love. It's an operation of our heart. So what's really on my heart is to talk about the way that we love, not just love as a concept, love as something that we just have in our heart. No, love looks like something. The supplement to our faith of love. How do we stick to the truth? How do we stand strong? How do we not compromise, but also not alienate others in the body of Christ and push away those that don't know Jesus yet, but may be curious about Him? You see, the antidote to the hatred, the cynicism, the anger, the division that we're seeing in our day has always been, and it will always remain, the love of God. And that is why this attribute we add to our faith is listed last. It's to make sure that all other supplements are rightly balanced and properly placed. All the things we've worked on in our faith is summarized and characterized by love. 2 Peter 1:7, again, it says, to godliness we add brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. Now, we talked about brotherly kindness last week, and you would think that brotherly kindness would be the same thing as love, but I like to think of love as the belt that holds all of these things together. Love, in this definition, is the Greek word agape, and it means affection, goodwill, love, benevolence, which is the generosity of giving to somebody something that they need, and it also means brotherly love. It's actually translated in some versions of the Bible, charity. This attribute is the deepest, most selfless, and most important form of love. It's the kind of love that puts other people first without expecting anything in return. You see, the love of God in and through us is not something we embrace only for an hour or so on a Sunday morning at church. In fact, the way of love should be the defining factor in the way we live our lives in every scenario and situation of our life. Without love, our religion, our faith is entirely worthless. So in the original languages of the Bible, Hebrew and Greek, there are a few different words that describe love. And I'm not going to do a deep dive study into each individual word, but I just want to mention them here. I want to bring out the fact that the kind of love God gives us, the kind of love God wants us to return to Him, and the kind of love He wants us to pour out on other people is the most intensive kind of love. So let's look at all of these different kinds of love just to give an idea of the different levels, the different layers of love that you'll find in Scripture. So one of the Hebrew words for love is ahab. And this is the kind of love that describes deep emotional bonds, such as the love that Abraham had for his son of promise, Isaac. It's the kind of love that remains faithful. It's the kind of love that we are to obey God with, as found in Deuteronomy 6:5, obeying His commandments. And it's the kind of love that we're to love our neighbor with, and you'll find that in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. So another Greek word for God's love is agapeo, and that means an unconditional love that's acted out by God's will to love us. It's the kind of love that reveals a desire to always seek the good of the object of the love. And in God's case, that's His desire to love us, regardless of whether or not we deserve the love. And it's this kind of love that God wants us to model in our pursuit of the good for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Then there's another word for love. It's the Greek word agape. And this kind of love is what we're talking about today. This is the deepest kind of love that comes from the value that we have for another human life, and not just our affections for someone we have become fond of. We deeply appreciate and regard God, and as a result, we deeply appreciate and regard other people, regardless of our affinity for them personally. There's another kind of love called phileo love. It's friendship love. It's the love you feel for someone because you've chosen to be close to them as a friend. You're personally attached to them, so this kind of love is exclusive. You won't give this kind of love to the people you don't have a relationship with. And then there's the last word for love I want to hit on today. It's an extension of phileo love. This love is described with the word Philadelphia, which is the kind of love we talked about last week. This is the kind of love extended toward our brothers and sisters. It's family love. It's a love we can have between family members, which means as the family of God, we can have Philadelphia love with the extended body of Christ because we're all family. Interestingly, we are really struggling with this particular form of love right now in the world, I believe. I believe the church is really struggling with this. If we're not careful, Philadelphia love can be diluted and we build our camps. And as we discussed last week, Philadelphia love is the kind of love that tears down the walls and loves one another with a right heart. But again, today we're talking about agape love. Love that values every human being on the deepest level because God first loved us. Let's take a look at 1 John chapter 4. We're going to read quite a few verses here because 1 John describes this kind of love. Verse 7 of 1 John 4 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him, and He in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from Him, that he who loves God must love his brother also."
Again, that's 1 John 4:7 through 21. You see, our faith in Jesus Christ must manifest in love toward other people. In fact, this is what Jesus said is the distinguishing factor that will cause the world to know we're believers and carry the message of hope. The confirmation is not found in the gifts, in the positions, in the power we have, in the politics we align with, the authority we operate in, the opinions we have, or the personalities that we embody. Those things are not effective if they are used outside of the love of God, which means we must pursue love before we pursue gifts or position. In fact, you can hijack your influence even if you have all the spiritual accolades, all the gifts, the positions, if you operate in any of these things without love. The Apostle Paul says you're actually obnoxious if you work your Christianity without love. 1 Corinthians 13, he's very clear. He says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I've become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing." It's a very interesting thing for us to realize that if we don't have love, all of our religious gyrations are simply a distraction and they are obnoxious to the world. Because this is the truth. If you truly do love God, you will love people. If you truly love God, you will love people. John 15, 9 through 12, Jesus says, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." That's pretty powerful. Jesus says it's not a suggestion. He says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Matthew 22, verse 34 says, "But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, 'Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?' Jesus said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.'" So Jesus was clear about the two greatest commandments: love God and love people. Only when these two things are in place does any other spiritual gift matter at all. So you see, if you truly love God, you'll love people. And the mark of a true believer is love, not their spiritual gifts, not their reputation on how good of a Christian they are. It's truly marked by how well they love people. So you'll notice in 2 Peter that love wraps up all the supplements. But you'll also notice that the first fruit of the Spirit, the result of the Spirit living in us, is love. So we've bookended all the important things. Love starts it all, and love wraps it all up at the end. Any Christian activity absent of love can become play-acting. And in the same way, all other supplements to our faith depend on this one being added, the supplement of love. Without love, we're a good person at best, but most likely we're pretentious. We're acting a part with no authentic overflow of the character of God, because God is love. Galatians 5:22, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." So we've got to have love to be authentic, because you see, religion without love is useless. And what do I mean by religion? Religion is our spiritual activity and title, but it can be operated without authenticity if we're not careful. Religion without love is a clanging cymbal, according to Paul. It's kind of like lots of engine revving, but there's no acceleration. There's lots of posturing for influence, but we're missing our core reason for having the opportunity to serve God in the first place. It's kind of like when I go out in my backyard and I watch a couple of my chickens fight for dominance. It would be funny to watch if it wasn't such a deadly and costly activity, because they'll kill each other if you're not careful. And in the same way, our religious activity without love will actually cost the body more in lost credibility than to serve in love and stop fighting for dominance and attention. So how are we destroying the work of love in our day? Because love in many settings is really suffering. We're actually destroying the work of love in our day with our pride and our arrogance, our religion, our arguing about disputable matters. Look what it says in Romans 14:1. It says, "Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things." In other words, if there's a few ways of looking at something, don't waste energy arguing over it. All you're doing is creating division. There's other things we do to destroy love. We're serving ourselves. We're fighting for position or recognition. We're greedy. But what are some practical ways to live out godly love today? Of course, this is not an all-extensive list, but there's a couple of really important things we could do. We could spend time with people. We could listen to others. We can refuse to argue about disputable matters. We can pray. We can serve others and wash their feet. Sometimes literally, but maybe more figuratively, we serve them in a way that blesses them. We're generous. We're people who are curious and ask other people questions rather than spend all of our time making statements. So I want to encourage you today to ask God to help you excel in God's love. Ask Him for more of His love in operation in your life. The faithful kind of love that rises above disputes, that rises above self-posturing, that rises above pride. And only when we are in this place of humbly walking in God's love can the statement Jesus made in John be found true in our day. John 13:35, Jesus says, "By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." John 15:13 says, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." And so we've come to the end of our list of supplements to our faith from 2 Peter chapter 1. It's been a beautiful journey. But before we end this series, I want to hit on the one thing that this letter that Peter wrote has excited me about the most. I've been waiting for this moment to share this with you, because this is why this list of supplements is so powerful. Let's look at it. Let's bounce from 2 Peter, the beginning of the chapter. Let's go to verse 8. To see what nugget we can find there. It says, "For if these things," what things? These supplements that we've been studying. "For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Wow, that's amazing. That is so powerful. But let's just break a few things down so that you and I don't miss it. We've got a deep understanding of what Peter is actually saying to us. Look what it says in verse 8. It says, "For if these things," these supplements that we've been studying, "if they're yours and if they abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." In other words, you will be fruitful. You will have the faith and the life and the presence of Jesus coming out of your life because these things are in your faith. The word abound here, it says, "if these things are yours and abound." Abound is the Greek word pleonazo, and it means to exist in abundance. If these things exist in your life in abundance, it says that you won't be barren, you won't be unfruitful. Verse 10 then goes on to say, "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble." Wait a second. Did you hear that? It said, "If you do these things, you will never stumble." Now that causes my ears to perk up a little bit, because there's times in my life where I feel like I stumble quite a bit. And yet the Apostle Peter is telling me that there's a way that I can walk in victory, that I will ensure that I don't stumble in my faith. If ever there was an admonition to do something that benefits you and I in our Christian walk, it's found right here. We wander around in our life as a Christian, just hoping to be good enough and not stumble and fall away. And right here, Peter has told us how to ensure that we will never fall away from God. We're to add these things we've been studying to our faith, and you and I will never stumble. Don't be short-sighted. Don't be blind. Mature in your faith by asking the Holy Spirit to help you work these attributes, the attribute of virtue and knowledge and self-control and perseverance and godliness and brotherly kindness and finally, love. He says, if you have these things in abundance in your faith, you will never fall. And you see, Peter's choice of the word never here is important. The word never is the Greek word mei. M-E, may, and it means not. It means you will not fall. What that word is in the Greek is defined as a primary particle of qualified negation or absolute denial. It means that when these things abound in your faith, you will not fall. Praise God. Hallelujah. What an amazing key to victorious living in Jesus. And so, friend, as we draw this series to a close today, I want to encourage you to add these supplements on purpose, intentionally, to your faith, growing in Jesus and abounding. And as such, you and I will walk in triumph and not oscillate back and forth in uncertainty and compromise. Come on, friends, let's go. Let's live this Christian life in abundance, abounding in the supplements of our faith so that Jesus Christ can be known to a hurting and desperate world. So thank you, Lord Jesus, for this series on supplementing our faith. Thank you for giving us vitamins, for giving us building blocks that help our faith to be strong enough that we will know in our heart that we will never stumble. And God, when we do make a mistake, we'll be quick to repent and we'll be quick to make sure these supplements remain strong in our life. We give you praise for that. We thank you for this series and we thank you for helping us to put tools in our tool belt, to put foundation stones into our foundation so that we can live strong for you, so that we will never fall. Thank you, God, for your victory. Bless my friends that are listening to Foundation Stones today, and I look forward to being able to open your word with each one of them again. We pray these things today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thanks so much, friends, for being a part of Foundation Stones. I would love it if you would share this podcast with somebody. Tell somebody about it. That's the only way that people know that it's out there, and we want to make sure that other people have the opportunity to grow in their faith as well. Love you all. Can't wait to talk to you again next week. Be blessed. Keep adding those foundation stones to your faith, one stone at a time.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us next time for another deep dive into the foundation stones of our faith in Jesus Christ. For more information about Refuge City Church or to join our giving team to keep the gospel of Jesus Christ moving forward and making resources like this podcast available into the future, visit refugecity.church.